this isn't for everyone, and there's no shame in that. That doesn't make you a bad person.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Welcome to episode 78 of The Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. My goal is always to empower you and your family to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for unnecessary medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. As a dementia care partner, your focus is usually on your person. Although you're a crucial part of the equation in a process that can last up to 20 years or more, you may often get lost in the shuffle. People and circumstances change over the years, including for us. That means we'll go through transitions too. Circumstances can change, the unexpected can happen, and what will we do? In this episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, Christy and I discuss some common life transitions as well as some unexpected ones and why thinking about all this now is a good idea. Plus, circumstances when you're just not into being a care partner, and we wrap it all up with a big announcement. Christy, last week we had a great conversation where we started our discussion on transitions and helping our care partners move through and those transitions to, you know, improve the quality of life and the time they have with their care partner. So I'm looking forward to continuing our conversation this week on transitions.
Me too, because I think a big chunk that is often missed when we're talking about transitions is transitions in a care partner's life. Because when we're talking about dementia, and there's, you know, so many different types and causes, so it's a process that can last anywhere from 1 to 20 years. And that's a long time, no matter which way you slice and dice it. A lot can happen in our lives in a year. Certainly a ton happens in 20 years. And of course, one of the challenges, one of the many challenges of dementia is we don't know from the outset how long our person is going to have this condition. We don't know how long we're going to be a care partner. And a lot of times we don't think about it. And that makes sense because we're really thinking in terms of what does our person need and how can we plan for that and how can we provide the assistance that she needs? All of those things, totally natural. But a lot of times we push our own needs and desires to the side, kind of trying to sprint through a marathon. And when you try to sprint through a marathon, ultimately you're the one who ends up getting hurt. And the other runners go by and, you know, just jump right over you. So instead, if we kind of pull back a little bit and think about, let's say 10 years, let's just go for the median there. Let's say that this process is going to be 10 years. Now, let's look at how we would plan our life in the next 10 years, whether our person was in it or not. Let's look at what we could reasonably expect to change within the next 10 years in our life, whether our person was in it or not. And here's one example. If you are, let's say, 55 right now and a care partner, in 10 years, you'll be 65, which in the United States means then you're eligible for Medicare, which means going through a process of getting your plan chosen and making the calls that need to happen to get that changed and making sure everything's in place and could be changing doctors. And then there's the thing with Social Security and all of that that I just described takes time. That's pretty much a day on the phone. So that's just one little thing. But also, if you're 55 now, going to be 65 in 10 years, and you played football in high school until that time that your knee just couldn't take it anymore. But since you haven't played high school football since then, it's pretty much kind of been okay. Except your doctor said you're going to need a knee replacement within the next probably 7 to 10 years. What about that? Who is going to help you after you're done with surgery? Who's going to help you with the wound site? Who's going to make sure you get to physical therapy? What rides are going to be provided? Who's going to help in the shower? It's not your person. They're not going to be able to do that. If you're out of commission, who is going to care for your person? So that's another transition that you could be looking at. Do you have yourself, or does your spouse have a job that is likely to lead to promotion and relocation? There are a lot of things that can happen within 10 years. Do you have kids who will be going into college or graduating college, or lots of different things can happen is my point. And having a plan for what will happen when you are unable to have the role you have now, or may need at any time to step out of that role or pull back from it for something unexpected. And I think just a lot of times we don't think about any of this in these terms, because sometimes as a care partner, a moment can feel like an eternity because the moment isn't going well. And it's difficult to see past that moment into a full day, let alone a week, a month, a year, 10 years. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. It would be very hard to pull out of that daily routine and to take the time and energy to look forward in life and see where we're heading. Absolutely difficult.
Yeah. So I think one of the really useful things that care partners can do is to spend some time thinking about this. Really thinking about, are you being fulfilled in this role? Is your soul being fed in this role? Are you taking care of yourself in such a manner that you're able to continue in this role for a sustained period of time? Have you ever thought about being in this role for a sustained period of time? Like in 12-step groups, for example, we would focus really only on one day at a time. And that's great for daily living. And with dementia, certainly one day at a time is great. Often one moment at a time is what's doable. But the overarching plan, let's assume we go one day at a time for 10 years. Again, 10 years will have passed. What are we doing with that? Are we planning it, knowing that we can't plan for, or we can't expect certain results? I mean, we can plan for them, but we don't have the control to pull off or to ensure that XYZ result is going to happen. But we can certainly work our plan headed in that direction. But there are unexpected contingencies that happen. In my own family, I love my mom dearly, and it seems like I often throw her under the bus when I'm speaking about her, but we have learned lessons in my family from the way that my mom managed being my grandma's care partner. My grandma had Alzheimer's disease for 19 years, and the last 5 years of my grandma's life, my mom was her primary care partner. She moved in with my parents. So I'm going to say that again, just to let that sink in. My grandma had Alzheimer's disease for 19 years. So it had already been going on for 14 years by the time she moved in with my parents. And what precipitated that was a completely unexpected circumstance. And this is virtually as rare as a unicorn. And that is, my grandma broke her hip and lived for another 5 years. And that, I am very hard pressed to think of people who live typically past 6 months, who are 14 years into Alzheimer's disease and break a hip, to go 6 months past that broken hip, let alone 5 years. So that was an unexpected circumstance right there. Then my mom had a job, and that needed to end so that she could care for my grandma full time. But there needed to be some planning at her work in order for her to be replaced because of the nature of the job that she had. And then obviously that had financial implications for my parents and retirement implications. So there was a lot to look at and a lot to think about. On top of all of that, my mom, again, God love her, you know, she's a nurse. And so theoretically, she knows better, but it's always different when there's an emotional connection there. And so she did not want anyone else to help her. And I had a parade of professional friends come through my parents' living room who, you know, had home care companies, and my mom would not accept help because nobody could care for her mom the way that she could, which is true. Nobody can care for your loved one the same way that you do. That doesn't mean that someone else caring for your loved one isn't great at it. It just means it's different. So that's not a bad thing. So no care outside of my mom. And then my dad's dad unexpectedly died. My mom's original solution to that was, well, I guess I'm not going to go to the funeral because nobody's here to care for my mom. So things like that that can be unexpected, you know, and at one point during that 5 years, also my mom was walking the dog. The dog went one way. My mom looked the other way and she tripped on a sidewalk, shattered her shoulder, had to have surgery. Again, she wouldn't trust anyone else to care for her mom. And it was just very lucky that she had the professional connection she did and that I had the professional connections I did in both of those situations, which is what allowed us to pull together a solution at the last minute. Not ideal, though. It was very stressful. The reason that I mention all of that is because stuff happens. Just knowing that that is a fact of life can help us plan for it and to think differently about being a care partner. Pulling our view back away from the kind of in the weeds of the daily care tasks and spending time with our person day-to-day life, looking more at the bigger things in life, the bigger transitions that can happen. We can kind of see those coming down the road or the things that happen without any warning.
Right. If we're not looking down the road, and then we can't put systems in place to try to help mitigate the risks of those happening, or, you know, so for instance, when your mom broke her hip, there wasn't a backup plan. And if I remember right, you've told us before, you were able to swing into action and help fix the situation because of your contacts. But it's that looking down the road that lets us be prepared.
Yeah, when my mom shattered her shoulder, it was a colleague of hers that saved the day. And when my grandfather died unexpectedly, it was one of somebody on my staff who was able to come in and save the day. But yeah, most people, I think, are not in that position. So it is a really good idea to think about things that can happen. That said, so I think that's kind of the technical aspect of it. What I kind of want to focus more on now is something that I think isn't talked about very often, at least not openly or not by people like me, meaning people who have kind of more public presence. And that is some family members are not cut out to be care partners. They don't want to be care partners. They maybe have had a negative relationship with their parents, and they feel like they kind of got left holding the bag in this situation. And so it could be bad relationship. It could be that that's just not their gift, doing direct care or being with someone all the time. It could be they have an amazing job that feeds their soul and their family, and that's something that they're just not able to give up, or whatever the thing is. I think it is really important that our listeners hear that this isn't for everyone. And there's no shame in that. That doesn't make you a bad person. It only makes you a person who needs to come up with a plan so that your person does get the care that they need. So I know that it's easy to feel guilty, to feel like you should, feel like there's an obligation. And we can should all over ourselves. That's not going to help anything. I say let go of that. If it's just something that for whatever reason you're not able to do it, that's okay. It's all right for you to be fulfilled as a person. It's all right for you to follow your dreams. It's all right for you to follow your passion. It's all right to do what comes naturally to you. And, you know, in my case, it happens to be being in dementia world. That rings my bell. I honestly believe it is the reason I was put on the planet, was to do this work. I love it. I am passionate about it. I think that that pretty naturally comes through. But it's not that way for everyone. And that's okay. Doesn't make them bad people. Doesn't make you a horrible daughter or an awful husband. It just means that isn't your thing. It's just time to find a different resource or a different way of managing the situation.
I think oftentimes we think we know what our thing is, but we don't necessarily, because we've never really experienced our thing. We have a vision of what we think it should be. And actually, oftentimes when our thing is slapping us in the face, we ignore it because it's not what we think our thing is, if that makes sense.
And it totally makes sense. It's like what we were talking about last week, right?
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, the Alzheimer's podcast and together in this, people often, you know, they'll ask me, how come I do this when I've never even had a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia. And I don't know. I just tell them, you know, now I'm going to paraphrase, but because it was my thing at the time, it felt right to do it. And you mentioned how, you know, dementia care is your thing, and that's why you're put on this planet. And I think I was put here to create together in this and the Alzheimer's podcast so that when our paths crossed, I could have you on as a guest, because you do have so much, you know, passion and knowledge and wisdom. So it was just a course I could never predict that was going to happen in my life. And I like how it intersected with you. And you have been a regular guest here on the Alzheimer's podcast for about a year now. So it's been great.
I love it too. And I think of our intersecting paths the same way. And I think because of the fulfillment that I have in what I do, I think that fuels my passion that other people are entitled to do what they are passionate about too. And if being in dementia world isn't that, that's okay, because the world needs people who do other things too. So I think this is a great segue, Mike, your big announcement.
It is. And I just mentioned that, you know, I've been running together in this for almost 6 years now without any income and not having any loved ones in my family with dementia. And it's because I had made a decision years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, to try to create my own company and to follow my path to help older adults. And it was just the path of where the doors kept opening, if you will. And I ended up meeting and learning all about Alzheimer's and dementia, meeting people with Alzheimer's and dementia is what I meant to say, and was touched. And the Alzheimer's podcast grew out of that, and I've really enjoyed it. And I think we're reaching a lot of people with over 30,000 downloads to date. And having you on the show to bring your level of expertise, which it's very unique to have someone with your level of expertise, knowledge, and, you know, the empathy to actually get out there and share it with the world like you do. So it's been a real blessing. But to get to that point, my transition is I've lost my passion for it. just to be honest. And I am currently pursuing a real passion, another passion that hopefully will make me some money, because I have to, you know, keep putting food on the table. And that's my passion for woodworking and animals. So as such, sorry for the long narrative, but as such, moving forward, I am helping. Christy and I have started a transition process of handing over the Alzheimer's podcast to her, where she will be the host, and I will help her through that transition, but eventually I will not participate at all in the broadcast or editing of the podcast. That sounded long-winded and uncomfortable to say, but...
No, well, we're never going to call out anybody for being long-winded, considering the chunks of time I talk without taking a breath. But I do want to say that, you know, for myself, I definitely believe this has been divine intervention, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that our paths crossed and that you invited me on as a guest, like, I think it was 15 months ago. And thought that I did okay, and invited me back, and invited me to do a series, and then invited me to do a regular spot every other week. And now here we are. It's evolved to what it is. I love doing it. I'm always just a little bit shocked when I'm out someplace and somebody will say, "Oh, I heard you on the podcast." I'm like, shut up, really? because it's a funny experience for me. I love it. I love the feedback that we get from listeners that are saying, you know, gosh, that really made a difference, and I really appreciate that, and I'm so happy that you talked about X, Y, and Z. So I really appreciate your generosity, Mike, in saying, sure, even though this is something I'm no longer passionate about, I'll teach you how to do this. I'll help you make this a smooth transition. And I think that just really speaks to the huge heart that you have. And I so appreciate all of the technical mentoring you've done for me, so that I am able to continue to use this platform to share insights and tips and tricks and tools and talk about dementia and Alzheimer's, and hopefully help people who are listening.
You're welcome, Christy. And, you know, and thanks to our care partners out there who are listening and have provided your, you know, feedback to us. And just please stay supportive of Christy over this transition period. It is quite a technical endeavor to do. And, you know, while I've had a computer basically strapped to my back for the last 40 something years, I don't think Christy's necessarily, you know, been ingrained part of, you know, had a computer ingrained in her life like I have. And there might be a little, some stumbles here and there, but, you know, please just stay supportive. She's going to put out some great content. We know that. And I do appreciate everybody, and I hope everybody the best and a great and smooth transitions throughout the rest of your lives.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and would just invite all of our listeners who maybe have subscribed through Together in This to the Alzheimer's podcast to know that DementiaSherpa.com is a thing. And we are happy to have you as part of the Dementia Sherpa tribe if you're not already a part. And you can just go over to DementiaSherpa.com and grab a complimentary communication tips download for dementia care partners and get notifications about the podcasts. And we look forward to continuing to give you great content and you being forgiving of the fact that I'm not an engineer by training like Mike is.
And I think it's even more than just training. I think it's a part of my DNA, as well as woodworking, I've discovered. I just love the smell of wood. I love the taste of sawdust. And believe me, I actually have tasted sawdust when it lands on my coffee mug, and I still drink it anyways.
Awesome.
I have received emails, you know, people asking about the content on Together in This and about the newsletter and all, but all that content's going to stay active for a year or more. and understand that Christy's content and knowledge is actually much better than what I have. So please do get over to DementiaSherpa.com, become part of her tribe, and she will definitely help you through these transitions.
Yes, I will.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and take care.
Thank you, and I will see you all again next week. You've been listening to the Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Together in This and Christy Turner of DementiaSherpa.com.
This concludes our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. Be sure to check out the show notes for any mentioned resources or links at togetherinthis.com/episode78. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, you can do so there. That way you won't miss any upcoming episodes. And be sure to come back next week and give Christy your support as she transitions into this new role of heading up the podcast. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Alzheimer's Podcast with Christy Turner of Dementia Sherpa, wishing you a blessed and easy week ahead. Be sure to check out the show notes and subscribe by going to DementiaSherpa.com/podcast.